Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We go to hour number two. Hey, listen, it's sneaking up on you because you've been kind of accustomed to the What's Your Beef segment being in the third hour. It's not today. It's the bottom of hour number two. In other words, exactly 40 minutes from Mark. So if you've got a beef, start calling right now. I want to start lining the beef calls up right now. 1-800-636-8686. If you're new to the program, you can beef about anything you want. I don't care. Literally anything. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, horse racing, cricket, soccer, NASCAR, non-sports, family, friends, work, life, anything. Anything that's reasonable. Keep it clean. Be respectful. Well, you can show some disrespect. Just don't cross the line. You know where the line is. If I have to tell you where the line is, you're going to cross it. If you don't know where the line is, don't call. But we'll have that, bottom of the hour. Before I do that, Howard Beck will join us. We'll talk some NBA. Speaking of the NBA, James Kelly and I were talking about Jim Rome's big head bets. Because it's the week before the week, we're not going to focus exclusively on the NFL the way we have all year long on that podcast. I'm going to let the big head get some futures in. NBA futures, NHL futures, NCAA futures. We've got some other action, including the NBA. So keep that in mind. Howard Beck is next segment. The Big Head and I after the program. Sam Pollard is an Emmy-winning director, acclaimed director, Oscar-nominated director, and he directed Bill Russell, Legend. It's a two-part doc that's going to be on Netflix, and we'll have him at the top of hour number three. So all of that is what's going on. New topic, new hour, new topic. So we're still 10 days away from finding out who the biggest winner of the NFL season is going to be. But we already know who the biggest loser is. And the incredible thing is, the biggest loser this season wasn't even in the NFL this season. It's actually hard to believe how far Pervin Liar's stock has fallen over the last 6 months, even though he hasn't coached a single game during that time. Especially since his stock had already cratered and was worthless prior to that point. I didn't know that something could be worth less than nothing. I didn't even know it was possible for a stock at zero to actually go down. We already knew that Pervin Liar was the worst coach in NFL history the day that he got bleep canned. He didn't even make it through one season. But what we didn't know is that Doug Peterson was going to ride in behind that dude and flip things around in one season and get Trevor Lawrence back to that true franchise quarterback that we all expected him to be and get the Jags into the playoffs. That guy did all that. And on top of that, led them to a 27-point comeback in the playoffs and then got named a finalist for Coach of the Year. And Trevor Lawrence, hell, he got the message. Peterson even taught that team about Jocko. While Vic and NoCal may not approve of that or have any need for that, Trevor Lawrence definitely understands the powerful message that Jocko is imparting.
Coach showed a video of, I don't know if you guys heard of Jocko. You guys can look it up. It's this video where he talks about good. And it's like, no matter what happens, that's your response. Good. You know, threw four picks in the first half. Good. You know, he showed that back in, I don't know if it was training camp or during the season, maybe when we were on that losing streak. I don't know when it was, but that's just been our mindset. You know, then we say it on the sideline joking around. One of the linemen, I forget who it was, said to me after I threw three or four picks, he was like, good. Just looking at him like, all right. All right, not the time, but.
Here's the thing. Everybody who was laughing at that has no idea how funny that is. Like, it was funny. But you have to know Jocko to know how incredible that is, what he just said. That was 1,000 times funnier than those who were laughing at it even know. And Jocko's whole thing about good is good.
Good.
But I wouldn't even put that in the top 500 things I've heard or seen or read from Jocko. That's how good Jocko is.
Good.
I'm not going to lie to you. Every single morning, I plug in a Jocko for a couple minutes. Just get a little burst. He's that good. Anyway, back to Perv. Perv didn't coach last year, but I can't believe how many L's he took without coaching a single game. Perv caught nearly as many L's from home this season as he did on the Jacksonville sideline last season. I can tell you this much. Pervin Liar has never read Discipline Equals Freedom. And Pervin Liar has never successfully motivated or inspired a pro football team. He's only perved and lied and kicked kickers and skipped team flights and blamed his assistants and made excuses. Even with that in mind, what I'm about to tell you will blow your mind because the dude is still making excuses. Because Herb popped up on the All Things Covered podcast with my dudes, Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden. They asked him about a potential or any potential interest in a return to coaching. Perv took that opportunity to make more excuses about his time in Duval, excuses that don't even make any sense at all.
No desire. And of course, you know, I think I'd do some things differently. And, you know, I was excited to see because they have a lot of different players. And when I was there, they did a really good job in free agency this year. And, but, you know, to me, and you guys know this, it's kind of funny when you say the NFL is a quarterback league. Pop Warner is a quarterback league. So is high school.
No question.
Right. It's a quarterback sport. And when you get a killer like Trevor Lawrence or a JT Barrett or a Cardale Jones or Tim Tebow, you got a chance. So they got a great future.
Dude, you had Trevor Lawrence. He makes it sound like he got fired and then they drafted Trevor Lawrence. No, dude, you got fired because you nearly wrecked Trevor Lawrence. This dude. Just act like you guys know. You know how it is. No. We know how it is. You don't know how it is, Perv. There you have it. The reason the Jags went from a total and complete dumpster fire to the divisional round in one season has nothing to do with coaching. It's just the guys on the roster. Hey, guys, there's a lot of different players. Hey, guys, they've got Trevor Lawrence. It's a quarterback league. Hey, guys, they did a really good job in free agency. Guys, it's windy as hell out here.
It's windy as hell out there too, guys.
That's what you sound like, Perv. You sound like the least accountable dude in the league. At least the Coug Hunter is only 23. Bro, you're 58. You had an entire year to process your failure, and the best that you could do is tell us that the Jags have a lot of different players and they had a really good free agency and Trevor Lawrence. That's your analysis. That's your takeaway. That's the soul searching you've done, and that's what you came up with. Here's what I came up with. I thought about it too. The Jags went from having the worst head coach in NFL history to a pretty damn solid professional head coach who already has Lombardi. That's why everything changed. And that why is why everything is again awesome in Duval. Because you're gone and somebody else came in and changed everything. But what do I know? I'm just a talking head. And they let me say whatever I want. Take it from somebody who would know. Somebody who was on the team. Last month, Marvin Jones answered a question about the Jags being broken last year. And this is what he had to say about it. Quote, "I think one person was broken. It wasn't us." End of quote. There you go, Perv. One of the guys who was on the team last year. No, the team wasn't broken. We weren't broken. There was one guy who was broken. It wasn't us. Let me tell you something else. Only a broken brain would put Tim Tebow and Trevor Lawrence in the same sentence. I'd say it's a good thing, Perv, that you have no desire to return to coaching, like you told those guys. But you know, that's a lie, too. You know it. You love the attention. You love reminding people how successful you are and how much they all suck at their jobs. You love kicking kickers.
I'm a ball coach. I'll kick you whenever I want.
Literally. You love Buddy needing a night out on occasion and getting it. Buddy. Don't confuse you having no desire to return to coaching with nobody in the NFL having any desire for you to return to coaching. You know damn well you'll return to college coaching. You will. So get that crap out of here about how you have no interest or desire in returning to coaching, because you know you do, and you will. And somebody will hire you in college because you were a great college coach. You were. Just don't tell me you have no desire. I mean, your name comes up every single year when the coaching carousel starts spinning. If anybody believed that you had no desire, that wouldn't keep happening. Now, in your defense, being the worst thing, I'm going to help you out here. I'm going to show you that I've got no agenda and no axe to grind, and I'm going to help you out here. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to say something positive now. In your defense, being the worst thing that ever happened to the Jags may actually be the best thing that ever happened to the Jags, because they've all rallied around how much they hate you. And you were so horrible and treating everybody so terribly, you actually galvanized them. So you're right. You do deserve some credit. It's not all Doug Peterson. They rallied around their utter disdain for you. You galvanized this group. So good job, good effort. Buddy deserves a night out. Just don't use it to grind on co-eds. Man, it must be awesome to live in your own private Pervaho. Your own, I made that up. Your own private Pervaho.
Private.
Where it's never your fault and everybody else is always to blame. Must be nice. Must be really nice. I wish I had it in me to be like that, but I don't. And neither does anybody else that I know or care about. I wonder if the kicker is just getting a kicker's line when they're stretching so you can kick every one of them. Because you're the old ball coach. You can do whatever the hell you want. Yo, kickers. Let's do a kicker's drill. Not where you kick the ball, but where I kick you. Yo, place kicker.
I'm the ball coach. I'll kick you whenever
Yo,
I want.
Yo, punter. Yo. Holder. All you. Anybody who has anything to do with the kicking game. Special teams coach, you've never accomplished jack. You get in that line too. Yo, K1. No, actually, punter, whatever your name is. Let me see what kind of hang time I can get on you. Let me see if I can angle you out of bounds. Let me see if I, hey, P1, get over here. I want to see if I can get you in the coffin corner. Oh, out of the back of the end zone. Run it back. Let's do it again. This guy, man. I mean, did you hear the tone of his voice? Like, still not his fault. How do you name check Trevor Lawrence? You had him, dude. Hey, it's quarterback's league. Everybody knows it. You got a killer, you got a shot.
It's right. Kind of funny when you say the NFL's
one.
A quarterback league.
Him.
Pop Warner's a quarterback league. So is high school.
No question.
Makes no sense.
It's a quarterback sport.
Makes no sense. When we come back, hit me up on the phones because I've got Howard Beck and I'm going to roll that right into the beef segment. 1-800-636-8686. So, quick question. I may have posed it before. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so incredible? It still is. And it's still run by a family business. And that family still stands by quality and still produces the world's most incredible beef jerky. And I want to make the point once again, beef jerky is not beef jerky. You cannot go into a store and say, hey, yo, can I have that beef jerky over there? It's all the same, right? It's not. Thank you, Alvin. It's not all the same. In fact, you can see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. It's set up that way. They want you to see exactly what you're buying. Every bite of Old Trapper is amazing because of the ingredients. They use only the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef that are seasoned with top-quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. Listen, it's not even your fault. Before I tried Old Trapper, I kind of thought the same thing. Trust me, it's different. It's better. It's iconic. It's legendary. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Wow. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So I would tell you to call right now with your beef, but you couldn't get through anyway. Phone lines are jammed. Beef segment's coming up next segment. But first things first, we are joined by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, co-host of the Crossover Podcast. He is a Sirius XM radio analyst. He also wrote the foreword for The Greatest Show on Earth, a history of the Los Angeles Lakers winning tradition. Good friend of the program. He is Howard Beck. Howard, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Doing well, Romy. How are you?
Good, Howard. Great to visit with you. I want to ask you about this past weekend. I have not spent a lot of time on this. In fact, maybe I was waiting for you to come in to talk about this, but it's still pretty unbelievable that the refs missed that obvious foul committed by Jason Tatum on LeBron James at the end of regulation in Boston. The NBA Refs Association issued a statement, Howard, admitting a mistake was made. My question for you is, then, shouldn't the league be able to do something to fix an egregious error like that when it happens during the game?
I mean, it's a great question, and yeah, like, that was one of the, I don't know if it was one of the stranger versions of this we've had, Jim. The statement from the Referees Association was interesting. I'm not sure if that was necessary. I think in cases like this, it's best to just let the league speak for itself. The referee who missed the call, Eric Lewis, had already done the pool report after the game in which he said, listen, we've seen it now, and yep, we missed it. It happens. I don't know that everybody contorting themselves to try to apologize or say it's anguishing them and we're sleepless nights. I don't know what that accomplishes, and it comes off as a little overwrought, to be honest. The league's so Monty McCutcheon, who's head of officiating for the NBA, did a great interview with my colleague Chris Mannix, which people can find on SI.com, in which Monty addressed this and referee operations in general, and, you know, even the ideas as Mannix posed to him, should this be something that could be reviewed? The league is walking this fine line, Jim, and has been for years, ever since they started instituting and then expanding replay. They walk this fine line with, on the one hand, wanting to get everything right, and perfection is impossible. There is no world in which every NBA call or non-call will be correct. There is no 100%. You're just trying to get as close as you can. But that pursuit of perfection has led to this massive grid of triggers for replays, which they've tried to kind of cut down in recent years, and they've eliminated some things with out-of-bounds plays. It's automatic replays, because what happens is you end up extending the game, and nobody likes sitting through replays. No one, and especially when in the last few minutes of a game, if it goes, you know, review after review after review, that kills momentum, it kills fan interest, it drives people nuts. So you have to balance, on the one hand, this striving for an impossible standard of perfection versus how long the game might be and how many stoppages, I can't even say it, that you're going to have. So they're in a tough spot. And it's to the league's credit. They've always been transparent, and especially during the Adam Silver era with the last two-minute reports. I know people have mixed feelings about them, but the move to transparency and the move for accountability is, you know, it is welcome. And I think that's a positive. People can sit there at the end of it and say, yeah, well, all the apologies and transparency in the world doesn't change the fact that if you're a Laker fan, you feel like they got screwed that night. And okay, but I don't know that there is some solution for this, Jim. Maybe every single play that happens at the buzzer has to automatically be reviewed. I don't know. And as Monty McCutcheon said, that's for the competition committee to discuss. But, you know, by and large, the league will tell you, and obviously they're not going to provide us the data, but they will tell you that, you know, by and large, referees get the vast majority of their calls correct. And sometimes the mistakes that do happen happen at a critical time like this. And, you know, human error has always been part of the game. And I would just add this one last thing, and I say this to every fan base or anybody who's aggrieved at a given time by a call. If your team had done something better in the other, you know, 47 minutes of the game, if it was a game that was that tight, you had all these other opportunities. Like, it's never just about the one call. And yes, that the one that sticks because it happened at the end, but you know what? Play better, make more, you know, get more stops, do other things, build a better roster, Lakers. How about that?
How about that? Do better, play better. Howard Beck joining us. All right, to that point, Howard, in terms of the Lakers building a better roster, you got the trade deadline coming up a week from today. What are you hearing about Russell Westbrook? And beyond the Lakers, what teams do you think might be active in the trade market before the deadline?
The Westbrook thing has kind of gotten quiet, right? Like, that was all the rage last summer and early in the season was Westbrook plus the two future picks that they have available to trade. What can that get you? And the Lakers didn't want to move on some of those opportunities. We know that, you know, there was a very vigorous discussion with the Pacers in the offseason about the Heald-Turner thing. That is obviously off the table now with Miles Turner signing that extension. Is there still some other configuration that could work? I haven't heard anything recently that suggests that they're aggressively trying to go that route. They have been, as you know, very protective of those two future first-round picks because clearly they feel like they want to guard against falling off a cliff down the road when LeBron retires. But, you know, the 2027 and 2029 picks that the Lakers have that everybody talks about packaging with Westbrook and his salary, those aren't the only picks they have. They do have other picks. Those are just the only two that are eligible to be traded right now until after this June's draft. And it has to do with a whole bunch of rules and trades that they made in the past, but they will have other picks. So it's not as though their entire future is tied up in these two picks. And it feels like they're hoarding them as if they think that's the case. Quick aside, the Lakers have never built their dynasties through the draft anyway. Even the pick that was Kobe Bryant was a pick that they traded for his draft rights. They've usually done their work in trades and free agency, not through the draft, but that's neither here nor there. I would think they're at least listening to or exploring the possibility of something involving Westbrook and at least one of those picks, or if both, then maybe heavily, not heavily protected, but, you know, seriously protected. They've shown enough with LeBron and Anthony Davis healthy that they can actually, you know, be a force still in the West. But they can't do it with the roster they have. And the Rui Hachimura trade was a nice little deal, but it's not moving the needle. And I come back to this, which I wrote about in December. Are they going to squander another year of LeBron's late prime? How many more years can he do it at this level?
Fair. Howard Beck joining us, and he is doing it at a really high level as he tries to run down Kareem. Howard, what about Chicago? There's been reports of friction within that locker room as they've underachieved all season long. You've got trade speculation surrounding Zach LaVine. What do you see Chicago doing next week?
So they're in a really interesting position because it wasn't that long ago that they were going all in on the present and making that deal for Vucevic and everything else. Lonzo Ball, who, of course, that has not worked out because of injury. Getting Alex Caruso, like everything was about trying to win the present, maximize what they can do, getting DeMar DeRozan, all this stuff. But they've kind of already maxed out. Like this is a first round and out team at best. And the question is, are they ready to reckon with that and pivot the other direction? If they are, then they could do the trade that I suggested on SI.com today when we had a little roundtable on trades we'd like to see. And the one I suggested was Zach LaVine and Goran Dragic to make salaries work for Westbrook and the two picks with some sort of protections on them, I'm sure. Zach LaVine with the Lakers, I think, would thrive, and certainly the Lakers could use another creator and scorer on the court. On the Bulls side of it, you know, as I say, I think they've maxed out with this group. LaVine's got, you know, 4 years and 100-something million coming after this season. So this would free up cap room. This would get them some picks for the future. It's a logical thing for you and I to discuss that, hey, maybe the Bulls should pivot and look to the future. It's a lot harder when you're the executive in charge and you've got to deal with the downside of that, which is, you know, people, you got to sell season tickets. You got a marketing department. You've got a pick that you sent to the Magic that I think is top four protected, but that the Magic are going to get because of the Vooch trade. And, you know, you don't want to get, you know, sink too far in the standing. Like they're just, it's a really tough spot they're in. But I got to think that there is a moment of reckoning coming.
I was going to say, Howard, I actually love that. Of course, I'm not accountable to any of it, but I like that deal a lot myself, especially for L.A. Howard Beck joining us. So let me ask you this before you go. The Celtics dropped 79 on the Nets in the first half last night, and they blew Brooklyn out by 43. In fairness, Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons both sat out with injuries, but the amount of scoring from Boston was no aberration, right? It seems like every single night somebody is going off with huge numbers. Luka has already posted four 50-point games this year. There's a lot of three-pointers being taken, I understand that, but his defense in the NBA also at an all-time low right now.
Is defense in the NBA at an all-time low?
Yes.
So, you know, it's interesting, Jim. Isaiah Thomas tweeted something, the Hall of Fame Isaiah Thomas, not the younger one, tweeted something to that effect a couple weeks ago where he said, if everybody is scoring this well and it's this historic and great and blah, 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 then basically the converse is also true that, like, that must mean defense is worse than ever. And I kind of chuckled and I thought that, you know, there's something maybe to that, but I think I think it's too simplified. I think that what we're actually seeing is, you know, and this has been increasing over the last 5 to 10 years. We are in a 3-point era. We are in a high tempo era. We are also in an era where players are being empowered or given license to control every possession, whether you're Luka Doncic or Giannis, Westbrook when he was in his prime, James Harden. Of course, we've seen this version of this. Seth Partnow, writer and former analytics guy for the Bucks, has called heliocentrism. It's about getting your one guy who's best with the ball in his hands the most possessions possible. So we see usage rates that Michael Jordan almost never had, that Kobe Bryant never had. And so it's a stylistic thing more than anything that guys are scoring individual highs and crossing 40, 50 points routinely. In terms of the total, you know, or points per possession, a lot of that is that the game is spaced out and the floor is wide open and you can't guard everybody all the time when everybody is now a 3-point shooter and there's more threes than ever. So I don't think it means that defense is down. I just think the game is harder to defend right now. You know, people can superimpose their own impressions on that in terms of their taste for the game and whether they like this version of the game. But I don't think it's quite that defense is that bad. I think it's just where the game is.
I'm not going to push back on that. Like, people make the mistake sometimes in thinking that if I or anybody else pose a question, that I must therefore believe it. You actually give a very reasonable explanation for that. I'm not going to push back on any of that. I think it's part and parcel of a lot of different things, but I think that's a really good explanation as to why that is. He's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, co-host of the Crossover Podcast, SiriusXM radio analyst, and again, he did write the forward for The Greatest Show on Earth, A History of the LA Lakers Winning Tradition. He is Howard Beck. Howard, great to have you, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you, Romy. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Howard. Great job as always. Howard Beck. When we come back, you can react to any of that or jump right into the beef segment, which is what we're doing next. What is your beef? 1-800-636-8686. Or tweet me a beef at Jim Rome. Or email me a beef at rome@havetake.com. Here is your Bomb of the Hour Sports Update. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so as you know, all beef jerky is not the same. I've made that point pretty clear. It's time. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. You can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Do we start with the social media aspect and the emails or the phone calls? Let's try phone calls. 1-800-636-8686. What is your beef? Anything at all? I want to start here in Southern California, Pomona. Anthony in Pomona. Anthony, good to have you. What's your beef?
My beef today is with Tom Brady retiring and unretiring and retiring. Okay, so just pick a lane and stay in it, Footloose. Don't treat us like Rome does parody Larry because we will fall for it every time. Just stay retired. Have that extra scoop of avocado ice cream because you deserve it. Or hell, just go be the best-looking analyst on any panel you want. Just stay retired, please, and take that hippie up north with you. War, Kelly Clarkson, and bums using headlamps as GoPros.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
You can
like
war Kelly Clarkson, but you cannot war bums. Stay in your lane, Footloose. 1-800-636-8686. Like I said, if you don't know where the line is, you're going to cross it and you're going to get run. Not a good tone setter. Let's try somebody else. Why don't we go to the Bay Area? Fern, what's your beef?
Hey, Jimmy. My beat was LeBag. I just finished his 1990 hit classic remake of Kid and Play House Party. Talk about a franchise killer. I'm not sure what's worse, that movie or Matt Mutton LA's career choice. I'm out.
My man. All right, that's a step up. That's an improvement. I like it. Fern in the Bay Area, 1-800-636-8686. Let's go Midwest, Minnesota. Nick, good to have you. Nick, what's your beef?
What's up, Snags? My beef is with my wife buying those warm yellow light bulbs. Now I feel like I'm wearing those stupid yellow shooting range glasses in my own home. Right?
My man, I like it. I like it. I feel like I'm wearing those stupid yellow shooting range glasses in my own home. Keep it coming. 1-800-636-8686. Let's try Orlando. I love the beef segment because we get phone calls from all over the country. Joe in Orlando. Joe, what's your beef?
Jim, my beef is with the fact that it seems like every movie that comes out these days is about the freaking multiverse. Can we just cool it with this? We get it. There's another me somewhere. Maybe in another universe, I'm the queen of bleeping England. Carl Sagan is tired of this bullcrap. Fix it.
Is Carl Sagan tired of that bullcrap? Do you know Carl Sagan? Do you know Ronald McDonald? I'm telling you, the Tourette's syndrome.
Do you know about Ronald McDonald?
The Jungle Tourette's is so out of control. I just said, do you? He said Carl Sagan is tired of that bullcrap. I'm like, do you even know Carl Sagan? And the first thing that pops into my mind, do you know Ronald McDonald? I have my own Jungle Tourette's. Let's try Nooch. Should we? His return. His triumphant return. Nooch in Little Rock. Nooch, what's your beef?
Hey, Rome. I'll be quick. My beef is with these dispos trying to tell me that there's a weight limit that I have per time I visit. What, do these losers expect me to bother my mom to bring me back up there every 24 hours? And they're inconsiderate and it's unacceptable. War Jungle Inc., I'm out.
I like that, dude. I like that. He's got a beef with these dispos. These dispos harshing his buzz, letting him know how often he can and cannot come by. Dispos putting a weight limit on his order. Dispos trying to limit the number of nugs that Nooch can take home. Now that's some bullcrap. Good to hear your voice, dude. 1-800-636-8686. Could this be, again, one of those all call beef segments? I don't know. Long way to go. Let's go to Michigan, Jack. Great to have you, Jack. What's your beef?
My beef is with driving in the dark with his lights off guy. That sounds over an hour ago.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like my man, it's not the beef, like it's the phone quality.
Not a very good call.
I mean, is that not a sign that you're drunk or high? How can you drive in the dark and not know that your headlights are off? I'm not saying that maybe you don't know it for a second. Yeah, that's rich, Rome. How did you back into your wife's own car in your own driveway? Fair. At least I had my headlights on. Didn't help me. All right, let's jump back to the other. Hello, Jim. My beef, I'm reading now. My beef is with the bag Starbucks customers who would rather wait in the drive-thru instead of walking in and getting their iced mocha douche latte. Walk in, get your drink, walk out in 5 GD minutes instead of waiting in line for an hour and blocking intersections. Lazy ass. Robert in Seattle. My beef is with people adding the world or the world famous when describing family members' meals, like you haven't lived until you've had Aunt Mary's world famous cheesy potato casserole. Or wait until you try Uncle Bob's famous 5-alarm chili. This stuff is barely edible, let alone famous. Dominic S. Erie, PA. I like that. What's so famous about it, man? James Philip Rome. This must be important. He just governmented me. James Philip Rome. My beef is with schools preemptively closing whenever the news predicts a snowstorm. How soft are we getting? The kids can't be expected to wear a winter coat and boots and walk 15 feet to the bus in 2 inches of snow. Suck it up, Buttercup. Gary in the D. Detroit, not the interception capital, Dallas. Ah, boy. My beef. This guy gets it, man. Just short, punchy, and to the point. My beef is with my coworker, and then he goes bold, in bold print. Is with my coworker who cuts his fingernails at his desk. Signed, Max. Hey, Max, I mean, why do it work what you should do at home when it's disgusting and you can get paid for it? Wait till homeboy starts cutting his toenails at work as well. Hey, Ro, my beef is with crossing guards that stop traffic for grown-ass adults. What? Aren't crossing guards there for the parents? Mike in Door County. I got a beef with drive-through. That's a funny line. Drive-through window sauce packet distribution. Why is it that when I order two tacos for myself, I get 5 billion hot sauce packets? And yet when I order for a large group and ask for lots of hot sauce, I get like 4 packets. Let's institute an automatic 2-packet per taco policy if we can't apply common sense to order sizes. Eric in LA. First of all, Eric, that is the best written beef ever. I'm not saying it's the best beef. It's the best written beef. That is tremendous prose. Well written. Easy to read.
Common
amusing.
Sense would answer that question.
I like it. My beef is with people who live in Oxnard. I'm going to stop right there. Yo, Oxnard, I didn't say it. I'm reading it. I got no beef with Oxnard. I like Oxnard, and by the way, you don't want to cross Oxnard. My beef is with people who live in Oxnard and have LA Live-In in their bio. You are from Oxnard, not LA, buddy. Signed, DC from the Nard. Oh, he's calling out his own. Fair enough, dude. Jimmers, I thought somebody was going to take a run at Oxnard. DC's from the Nard going, yo, man, you're not in LA. You're from the Nard. Jimmers, my beef is with my wife washing dishes first before putting them in the dishwasher. What's the point of a dishwasher? How about keeping the water bill cost down? Pete in Denver. Pete, dude, were you the one calling about water costs last week? I mean, I get it, dude. Heating costs are crazy. Water costs are crazy. But you can't just drop a plate in the dishwasher without at least rinsing it. What's next? Hey, make me a sandwich. Jim, my beef is with my fiance. She keeps buying toilet paper that leaves behind shards. Haven't we talked about bathroom beefs already? Didn't I put a moratorium on that? My beef, Cindy, for some reason, thinks it's fine. Cindy, you literally are no better than the big head himself at this point. You know that. My beef is with my fiance. She keeps buying toilet paper that leaves behind shards of shrapnel after use. Now I'm looking at bidet options just to avoid the tangle with my backdoor jungle. Holy crap, Ian, you did not. And by the way, that's your warning chalk. One more of those, dude, and your pale ass is fired. Don't put that in front of me. His backdoor jungle? Cindy, you don't look or act like it, but you're one of the dudes. Your sense of humor is worse than James Kelly's, that you endorse that. Cindy is doing that. Snags, my beef is with people Hey, I'm getting a lot of snags today. I kind of like that. Snags. My beef is with people who seem to want the public to hear their garbage music playing in their car.
Garbage!
The only thing making it worse is hearing it as it rattles the trunk of your 85 Oldsmobile that has every fender a different color. Patrick in Alabama, going deep. My beef. Adults who ask other adults for bites of their food. Vincent Fresno, I like that. No, I like the beef. I don't like people doing that. I like that. That's fair. Hey, man, you mind if I have a bite of that? Yes. Unless you're with your significant other, man, you should not be eating off another adult's plate. It's just weird. Jimbo Slice, I have a beef with Iceman. First, he cuts off Maverick. Then he takes way too long to get a shot. Then he pulls out and leaves his jet wash for Maverick to fly through. Then Maverick goes into a flat spin and has to eject. Goose dies. Hashtag Iceman's fault. That's the best one of the day. And then the guy who sent it didn't even sign it. I don't even know who gets credit for that. That's the best one today. Even better than the guy with the backdoor jungle. Tan Smack. Wait, you want to call? Let's go to John in Philly. John in Philly. John, what is your beef?
Hey, Jim, my beef is this. 5 a.m. in the hotel, the guy goes out and accidentally hits the horn fob. Now he's fumbling with it, drops it under the car, and the horn won't stop honking. I was trying to sleep. I'm out.
My man. I feel you. Let's get one more in here. Jay in Texas. Jay, what's your beef?
Romy, my beef is with you.
Tell me.
All right, man. I don't want to muddy the waters here, and I certainly don't want to get run. But it would seem to me that sex would not be undefeated. If you considered sex versus the great equalizer, sex would lose every time. So let's just say you're about to get nice, and the great equalizer shows up. You know what's going to happen, Romy? You're going to have a big dump in your bed.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
Wow.
I don't like that call.
A matchup of undefeateds. Do you know why I'm still right? They've never played. That's why they're both still undefeated. I don't know what would happen if they... I have an idea what might happen if they played. But they've never played. I'm out.